American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, May 27, 2005. You've made it through another week, buddy. All you got to do is just make it through today, and you will be set for the weekend. Which, of course, means absolutely nothing because you've only got 48 hours off, and then it's back to the slave grind. However, within the next 48 hours, you could fill your own, like, just completely go out and do your very own escape and evasion drills. You could just see how far away from your house you could get within the next 48 hours. You know, take whatever money you got, treat it like a drill, and just say, okay, if I had to run, if I had to just bolt and make for the hills, how far could I possibly get before, you know, the world closed in on me and I would be destroyed forever? But while you are running, you can go and download the archives so you can listen to Newsreel, this very show. Your daily report is the wild counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And we will win this fight, no matter what anyone says or does. As long as there is one of us left, we will win. You can eat as much as you want of these news stories. All you got to do is order the Chinese takeout from my live journal. And you go to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. Or, if we were all in China, it'd be RonKennedy@RiveJournal.com. Of course, you know, is that an ethnic joke or am I making fun of the way people speak? Any way you cut it, this is probably an adults-only show, and if you don't like it, well, I'm here to make sure that we're all having fun. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wall Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com. And OspreyRadio.info. And Osprey Radio is really, really cool. So is KJAG. So is Radio306.com. WNY Media Network was on the news last night because they shot four people. Wild Bunch Radio, well, I recently heard that they were nailing whores in Mexico. 76 Radio has recently gone into this huge bottle drive where they're making cupcakes for churches and stuff. And Rant Radio is a bunch of fucking losers. There's not much you can do with those guys. But hey, that's our crew. That's who we're with. And we're all distributing to fight for the truth, justice, freedom, and all that good apple pie mom stuff. And you can join in the fight by helping us distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can hand this out to people at your church. Go to the local Mormon church. You know, just go in there. I guarantee they have a mail slot somewhere. Just, you know, label it with, like, Christian stuff and then slap it into the churches. You know, we got to infect the churches. Because really, you know, those people need to snap the fuck out of it. Really, they do. You know, well, then again, the last thing I'd want is to have some young child who has no idea what's going on with the universe get a hold of this show. I mean, think of all the bad words he could learn by listening to Sean Kennedy. Oh, my God. You know, I got a little nephew. Funny story here. I got a little nephew before we get into some feedback. The D-Man. And he's really young. Like, he's, like, young. He's, like, infantile. You know, he's still in that gurgling, I can't string together sentences phase, which makes him really boring, you know, because he's like, it's a ball, you know, and you're like, wow, you know. You have a lot of work to do on your psyche. But anyway, that's fine. And my wife thinks it's adorable that I can, you know, look at him and stuff. And I'll pick him up by the head from time to time and examine him to see if he's grown and, you know, break out the little gauge and stuff. So I think that he's got a possibility to be a good mecha pilot. You know, I think that if the kid, you know, got into the right things at the young age. I mean, everybody was kind of, ever notice that all the guys are probably into the same stuff when you're a kid? Very weird. It's like dinosaurs. Everybody dug dinosaurs. And then eventually we got into, like, dump trucks, right? And then robots and stuff like that. Now, I think there's those kids who get into robots. Most kids have a phase where they get into robots and remote control toys, because remote control toys naturally give you power over something else, and this is something that every child wants, because all children don't have power, so naturally remote control toys are the shit. Now, whenever you have stuffed animals and things like that, you can give them life, supposedly, with these stuffed animals just by, you know, pretending. Everybody does that. We all pretend. I pretend I'm a rant radio DJ. We all pretend. We pretend we have jobs. We pretend we have a career. We pretend the world is going to carry on. Everybody pretends. It's just the level of pretending. If a child pretends a robot is alive, we'll go, isn't that funny? But if we'd all just pretend that, you know, we're not committing mass genocide on, you know, at least 50% of the planet, then somehow that's okay, too. So life is a lot of pretending. There's a lot of pretending going on. And I think that if with the right kind of harnessing of that pretending, you could really, you know, give yourself a benefit. I'm hoping that the young children of tomorrow, like the children are the future and all that good stuff, get into robots. I think it's up to us WOGs to get young kids into robots. Because realistically, just for robots to exist, you have to have computers, right? You have to have programming. You have to have alloys. You have to have wiring. Realistically, making robots, I think, is the ultimate hobby. And I would encourage all people to brainwash young children everywhere to build giant, crazy robots. Into the feedback. Dear Sean, Oregon beaches are free. They're free. I see them right now. They're free and they're running. So I was saying before that, you know, how all beaches have parking meters to prevent you from getting to the ocean because you have to pay for it. Well, apparently, I was sent a correction. Oregon beaches are free, and that is true. I was just there. They are, in fact, free, and they're beautiful beaches, too. If you ever get a chance, go to Oregon. Kick-ass city. Oregon beaches are free because back in the early 1900s, they were declared a public freeway. Yes, with no protection on them whatsoever, I might add. That's another interesting point is that if you go to Oregon, you could land, like, any kind of landing craft there you want. Just walk right on to New America. It wouldn't be much of a problem. Dear Sean, on Wednesday's newsreel, today from my point of view, you tried looking up a word and you couldn't find its meaning. I would recommend www.dict.org. Thank you. I got this. Swansea. Remember that Swansea thing? It's a port city in southern Wales on an inlet of the Bristol Channel. Did not know that. I thought Swansea was a type of wiener. But apparently it's not. It's a small port city in the southern Wales on an inlet of the Bristol Channel. Just thought I'd help you out a little, help you be a little bit more efficient. It is the best dictionary website I've found so far. And something else, don't worry about screwing up like you did on your live journal. I'm sure I screw up a whole lot more than you do. Later, man, Prism. Well, thank you, Prism, very much. And yes, I did screw up the other day, and I posted a whole bunch of newsreel links. But as predicted, everybody came to the rescue, which was very, very cool. It's nice to know that the WOGs have got my back. Let's get into a Sort Yourself Out. Sort Yourself Out is a segment of the show where I dispense advice for all sorts of problems. No matter what the problem is, I don't care if you've got to hide a body. Give me an email, and I'll tell you how you can sort it out. Hey, Sean, I have a problem. My dad is an alcoholic. He's 54 and drinks every night. I go into my room and he starts drinking and then complains I don't spend any time with him. I hate his drinking. He's always complaining that he has no money, yet he doesn't stop him from drinking a six-pack every day. For example, he ran out of money on Wednesday and will not get paid on Friday. Yet on Thursday, he borrowed money from a friend to work and spent it all on alcohol. What should I do? Have an intervention? Question mark. Thanks, bye. Okay, well, it's like this, buddy. It's your dad, right? So you love him. Hopefully, right? I think he's pretty cool. So you want to say to him, hey, you know, does he know? If he knows that you don't approve of his drinking, right, because he's a drug addict, if he knows you don't approve of it, and which chances are he does, because he's gotten this far, you know, he knows he's got a problem and he's in denial, okay? So you got to ask yourself, how old am I, and do I have the ability to leave home? If you do not have the ability to leave home, then you're essentially screwed. You can sort of sit there and say, you know, Dad, you know, maybe there's some hypnotherapy or something like that that might work or whatever, something that can help him out. Now, the thing is that if he's, you know, gets defensive, because addicts do, they're like, no, it's mine, fuck off, it's my rights, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you've got to have an out. You know, he's 54 years old. He's probably been an alcoholic for a while. If you just say, stop being an alcoholic, I don't think that's going to work. If you leave the house because he's an alcoholic and you go, well, that's it, I don't want to hang out with a junkie, then that might snap him out of it. Or, you know, maybe he'll just decide to destroy himself. You got to look after yourself. Okay, you can't allow yourself to be dragged down because your dad's a shithead. Okay, and if he's an addict, it's, you know, that's his thing, right? You can try to help him, but if he doesn't want to get help, there's not much you can do, is there? I mean, let's cut the shit. If he doesn't want to get off the sauce, then there's not much you can do, really. I mean, all the work in the world isn't going to make the slightest bit of difference. An intervention is a great idea if the person wants to get clean. But generally, that could go another way. I tell you right now, if a bunch of people sat around me in a circle and said, Sean, we need you to stop newsreel. We need you to stop newsreel because you're addicted to the internet. And everyone was going, yes, Sean, you're addicted to the internet. Well, you know. There will come a point where I go, you know, suddenly, ding, ding, ding. you people are crazy. So, you know, it all depends. It all depends on what your situation is. From this one here, I would say talk to him about it. If he doesn't know you disapprove, if he knows you disapprove and you can't stop him, then guess what? Welcome to the land of free choice. If he decides to end his own life with booze, the nice thing about suicide, man, is that there's so many ways to do it. You know? That's the great thing about suicide. People think that just committing suicide is, you know, sticking the gun in the mouth, pulling the trigger, and dusting the brains all over the wall. Well, there's more ways to suicide than just redecorating and brain matter gray. Okay? There's whole options for, like, you know, all kinds of drug addiction, food choices. Suicide is everywhere. There's so many different ways to kill yourself in this society because, after all, everyone's all worried about overpopulation and whatnot. So, unfortunately, if your dad doesn't get off the sauce, then he's another victim in the core political war to destroy all of us. It's his choice, but it's always your choice, and somehow that doesn't seem to hold much comfort for you, buddy. But I would look after yourself. If you want to look after your dad, there's not much you can do unless he wants help. Into the news. In spyware news, the U.S. House of Representatives on Monday voted to establish new penalties for purveyors of internet spyware that disables users' computers and secretly monitors their activities. Interesting. At least now we're getting some legislation on this. By overwhelming majorities, the House passed two bills that stiffen jail sentences and establish multi-million dollar fines for those who use secret surveillance programs to steal credit card numbers, sell software, and commit other crimes. Now, can we use this bill to attack the FBI and all these organizations that are going to be hacking our stuff? Spyware has emerged as a major headache for computer users over the last several years. It can sap computing power, crash machines, blah, blah, blah. We all know spyware is bad. Consumers have a right to know and have a right to decide who has access to their highly personal information that spyware can collect, said California Republican Representative Mary Bono, who sponsored one of the bills. Well, that's great, except for the fact that, you know, pretty much everyone is screaming right now that there's no such thing as privacy. You know, no one wants there to be privacy, but we want to stop the spyware. So, you know, the double standards are just going on and on and on and on. It's really pissing me off how much the double standards there. I mean, the practice known as phishing, in which scam artists pose as banks and other businesses attempt to trick consumers into divulging account information, will also be outlawed. Well, you know, that's another practice. I'm glad that's being outlawed, but I'd like there to be more than just corporate laws going through just to prevent, like, I'm more worried about the corporations getting into my computers and farming me than I am really of phishing sites because, well, you know, I guess maybe I'm a little bit smart to fall for the phishing sites, but it happens. It happens, and just because someone doesn't know doesn't mean they should be exploited. In buzzword RFID news, now you ready for this? I notice now that the news is generally just handing out names for things. Like, you know, they had the RFID cards. Well, RFID cards aren't really considered happy anymore. The chips, you know, they don't like them anymore. So they had to come up with a new spin for it. So they got a new buzzword in the RFID news. Check this out. Tired of swiping your credit card over and over because the magnetic strip is worn? Help is on the way. Cards that you wave rather than swipe. Now, I covered this before. And this news story has been like, this is total propaganda. It's like, get used to this idea, America. Get used to this idea. You're going to be getting credit cards. Get used to it. Get used to wireless credit cards. I don't care if you don't want it or not. You're going to get it. J.P. Morgan & Chase, the nation's largest credit card issuer, said Thursday it will issue a new credit card with a so-called, you ready for this one, blink technology that can be waved in front of a special reader as it was being swiped as through a traditional terminal. Oh, as well as being swiped through a traditional terminal. The nation's number two bank said it will start rolling out the cards this summer and reissue new blink cards to existing customers. Have a blink card. We believe these innovative cards with blink will provide merchants and card members with increasing speed and convenience they want at point at sale. Okay, now, does anybody actually complain about how fast they're getting out of the store? Because I don't think there is an increased desire for speed. I think there's an increased desire for wearable computers, but I don't really think there's an increased speed for RFID or increased need for RFID chips, said Clark Frank. They want this. Merchants can increase speed and convenience that they want at the point of sale. This is what Carter Frank said, chief marketing officer of the company's major credit card division, said this all in a statement, which, of course, he didn't write. J.P. Morgan Chase has about 94 million credit cards in circulation and is the first bank to issue Visa and MasterCard branded cards with the new Blink technology. Yes, with RFID technology, but they're going to relabel it Blink. You got to love that shit. I love it when they try to, you know, relabel stuff and say, no, 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 it's Blink technology. Blink technology is cool. It's like those dogs in the old AD&D books that could just, you know, go from one place to another. It's like teleporting information. That's what it is. It's magic. It's magic, everyone. Don't you like the magic? No, we don't like the magic, you retard. I don't care how much you dress up this RFID. We can just keep swiping our cards. Thank you. Because after it goes into the chip into the card, then it becomes about the chip. And then everyone's into chips. And what do you suppose they're going to do with that chip next? What do you suppose they're going to do with the chips? Huh? After credit cards keep getting stolen. That'll be the next step. Oh, yeah. Credit cards getting stolen everywhere. These credit cards are gone. Can't keep track of these credit cards. So much fraud from these credit card numbers. Wouldn't it be easier if there was a way we could put these chips somewhere where thieves couldn't get them? Wouldn't that be just better? And that way, you know, you could use better chips with encryption so that eventually no one has to worry about, you know, having a pesky credit card. It's just with you all the time. If there was only a way we could make sure that you always had your chip with you and that way you could never lose it. How would we do that? In Shadowware's news, computer users already anxious. Man, I'm dying in the news today, man. I'm having a hell of a time getting through these stories here. Okay, let's try this again. In Shadowware's news, computer users already anxious about viruses and identity theft have a new reason to worry. Now, no doubt you've heard this story, and I got to cover it Newsreel because, well, I'm starting to think of Newsreel as kind of an archive of cool stories, too. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and these are stories that need to get documented. Hackers, you ready for this one, have found a way to lock up the electronic documents on your computer and then demand $200 over the internet to get them back. Well, I'm guessing they would demand more than $200 depending on the data. It's not like they have to demand $200. Security researchers at San Diego WebSense Incorporated uncovered the unusual extortion plot when a computer customer they would not identify fell victim to the infection, which encrypted files that included documents, photographs, and spreadsheets. A ransom note left behind an email address, and the attacker using the address later demanded $200 for digital keys to unlock the files. This is the equivalent to someone coming to your home, putting your valuables in a safe and not telling you the combination, said Oliver Fredericks, a security manager for Symantec Corp. The FBI said the scheme, which appears isolated, was unlike any other internet extortion crime, leading security and antivirus firms this week to updating protective software for companies and consumers to guard against this type of attack, which experts have dubbed, you ready for this one, ransomware. This seems fully malicious, says John Stewart. Well, no, it only seems fully malicious, Joe. Joe Stewart, not John, Joe Stewart. It only seems malicious, Joe. Realistically, it's a nice thing. That's a fucking dumbest statement in the world. This seems fully malicious. How could it not be malicious? The researcher at Chicago-based Lurg Corp, who studied the attack software, Stewart managed to unlock the infected computer files without paying the extortion, but he worries that improved versions might be difficult to overcome. Internet attacks commonly become more effective as they evolve over time, as hackers learn to avoid the mistakes of earlier infections. You would have to pay the guy, or law enforcement would have to get his key to unencrypt the file, Stewart said. Well, yes. However, there's the other problem where, you know, hi, Sean, I've got all your files and all your data. Yeah. So you got to give me money. Okay, I'll give you the money. Okay, how do I give you the money, shit bump? I guess you'll mail it to me. No. How do you get this guy the money so that it can't be tracked? Generally speaking, if this ever happened to me, I would simply, you know, go to another computer, record this on Newsreel, throw it to the world's most powerful search engine, which is, in fact, the WOGs, and, I don't think it'd be a very good day to be a bad guy. That's just me, you know, because I have control. You know, I have control of myself. You know, I can say to myself that I think violence is bad. But I know there's people out there, you know, who listen to the show who don't agree with violence. Or pardon me, who don't agree with me that violence is necessarily bad. And I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, WOGs out there that get pretty sick of the notion that they were having their data held for ransom. I think that they wouldn't really care for that too much. So God only knows what would happen if a WOG got his stuff encrypted. And then some son of a bitch showed up and said, give me money. Not a good day to be a bad guy. Just sort of a personal viewpoint there, but there it is. Now, in space race news, looks like we got another space race on the go. China takes U.S. plans to boost its space military capabilities very seriously and is likely to respond with energetic countermeasures of her own, because China's a female, I guess. A leading expert on the Chinese space program told the United Press International. Chinese experts and leaders Fear. If the United States achieves absolute military and strategic superiority in space, it could be used to intervene in China's affairs, such as the Taiwanese issue. Hugh Zhang, an expert in space weaponization and China's nuclear policy, said at the John F. Kennedy School for Government at Harvard University. This is what he told UPI. He was discussing issues he had presented earlier in the week in a paper to a conference on space weaponization at Arleigh, Virginia, organized by the Washington-based Nuclear Policy Research Institute. Chinese leaders have noted that Taiwan issue was included in a hypothetical threat in 2001 Rumsfeld Commission report on space weaponization. Also in January 2001, a U.S. wargaming exercise, China was taken as an assumed enemy, Zhang said. Yeah, I'm really loving this escalating tensions with China. Hugh Zhang Odai. You know, we should probably take over China just to deal with some of these names these poor people keep getting. Like, who the hell wants to be called Hugh Zhaodai? Could you imagine writing on your forms every day, H-U-X-I-A-A-O-D-I? Like, shit, man, can I buy a consonant here or what? China's veteran senior negotiator, Hugh Zhang Odai, who's very upset because he doesn't like his name, but he's China's veteran senior negotiator on space weaponization, expressed Beijing's fears at a committee and peace of disarmament panel on October 11th of 2001. It is rather the attempt towards domination of outer space was expected to serve to turn absolute security and perpetual authority, many people call this hegemony, of one country on Earth, he said. A unilateral and exceptionism are on the rise in recent months and also mutually reinforce this. The unilateral and exceptionalism that are on the rise in recent months also mutually reinforce this. Now, that kind of a statement right there is the dumbest fucking thing I think I've heard all week. Okay? This is why I'm a big fan of plain speak. Now, it's good that everyone has to have command of a vocabulary. I like to think that I got a pretty good vocabulary over here, and it's handy to be able to, let's say, discuss it to the world. Now, when you look back at comedians in the 80s and early 90s. You look at guys like Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams, all those dudes, okay? They generally had more attention paid to them. I learned more from comedians growing up than I did probably from the news. Why? Because the news wasn't as entertaining as the comedians were. People want to be entertained. And when scientists and political figures use deliberately manipulative language that is hard to understand, the general populace just can't really seem to figure it out. Why? Because the general populace isn't that educated. I hate to say it, but it's true. I've noticed this whole elitist concept when it comes to education. It's very, very odd. And this is one of the reasons why swearing, I think, will never be in the mainstream, is because, you know, they like to make sure they keep all the monkeys swearing. You know, they want to make sure that swear words stay an indicator of your social class. This is why you'll never get Dan Rather on the camera saying, fuck this. Wouldn't really happen. Also, some people argue that swearing is the language of violence, which, you know, would probably, I mean, there's a lot of anger there, right? But generally speaking, I think that swearing allows for implied intent. I can say things like, this is the shit, and everybody out there knows what I'm talking about, as well, as long as it's used in context with the rest of the statement. So realistically, I put it to you that swear words are a little bit better, but I digress. But my point here is that I'm a little, would you ever notice how much the government uses these extremely bizarre phrasing? I mean, I notice this a ton when I'm reading these newscasts because, you know, naturally I'm bombing through them and stuff. But some of the phrasing, some of these things these people say is just, you know, obscene. Like, did you deliberately say that to try to be, you know, a fuckstick? Like, are you trying to sound like an idiot here or are you just trying to mislead everyone? In brainwashing news, speaking of misleading people, who are the easiest people on the planet to mislead? Huh? Who are they? That would be the children and people who are childlike, like all the Mudhut religion crowd. But in brainwashing news, think schools are just scaring kids about drugs, sex, and poor study habits? No, 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 no. Now you can put illegal file trading on the list. This is also following, you know, after just a little while ago in Tokyo, they started having the MPAA copyright intellectual property merit badge for all the little Boy Scouts out there. Anybody in Tokyo who's got their hands on a Boy Scout badge, please send it my way. I want one of those MPAA Boy Scout patches. That is my quest in life. Okay, if anybody out there's got one, send it to me. I'm putting it on the Burning Man hat because that's just insane to me. Six graders in American Fork, Utah, will start their journey to middle school on Tuesday with a warning from the director of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office about the ills of illegally downloading music, movies, and games from the web. Just music, movies, and games, though. Nothing else copyrighted matter. Just music, movies, and games. You can download all the illegal books you want. Yeah, just not the music, movies, or games. Anything that's hot media, don't download it. Cool media, go right ahead, because we know you won't read it, because, you know, you're getting so used to being force-fed all this hot media, eventually you won't be able to digest the cold media. Director John Dudas is scheduled to deliver this year's commencement speech at Legacy Elementary School, situated in the suburbs of south of Salt Lake City, where the Mormons are king. Undersecretary, that's his name, Undersecretary, what a depressing title, will remind students that downloading and copying music, movies, and video games without the artist's or copyright holder's permission is an illegal activity, his agency said in a statement. Dudas will also talk to the children about the importance of intellectual property and describe the value of patents, copyrights, and trademarks in our economy, the statement continued. It could make for a long day for the kids, but the legal ramifications of illegal file trading are real. The Recording Industry Association of America has sued hundreds of children for copyright infringement related to music downloading. Now, intellectual property is something that I've had to give a lot of thought about. You either acknowledge that it is intellectual property is kind of like God, okay? You either say that there's such a thing as intellectual property and everyone has the right to intellectual property, or you think there's such a thing as there's no such thing as intellectual property. Now, you get something like, say, something classic, like Lord of the Rings. Okay, let's look at Lord of the Rings. Tolkien wrote it. Tolkien is dead. Okay, so therefore, the man who thought it up is no longer around. It is his idea. It wasn't anybody else's idea. It's Tolkien's idea. When Tolkien makes enough money from it, and he decides he wants to give it away and relinquish ownership, okay, then I don't really have a problem there. Should we be able to steal Tolkien's stuff? I put it to you that realistically, let's pretend for a moment that Bill Gates didn't rip off Macintosh, okay, and create the Windows environment. Because all of Windows, this is really funny, but the entire Microsoft, you know, in the very root level, way back when, was based upon piracy, okay, which is kind of funny that he ripped off Mac, right? Even though, you know, they went to court, la la la, they had a really good case, and it's very apparent that they stole the concept from Mac. If not, it's just a coincidence that the two interfaces were very similar. Now, when you look at the technology that has come from Microsoft, everybody, chances are you're listening to this on a Microsoft product, which is a product based upon what? Piracy, right? So intellectual property, although, you know, me being a writer, I'm kind of cutting my own throat by saying that I don't agree with intellectual property. You know, I think that the good of the race, the good of the human race, outweighs the need of the few or the one. You know, realistically speaking, there are those of us out there who are willing to, you know, martyr ourselves for the cause. There are those of us out there that will say, yes, I will go to jail and suffer so that, you know, others can be free. Those people, of course, are insane by many, many definitions, but they do exist. And is that a bad thing? When you think of the scientists who worked in their basement to give the truth to the world, and some of them, you know, they tried to kill. They tried to take out Tesla, but look at what Tesla has done, and everyone still knows his name. I know his name. We know that Tesla does stuff. What we need is more people with information and computers being able to pirate information and knowledge so that we can take technology forwards. Technology is nothing more than man's physical manifestation of his will. And if we can spread more ideas and concepts around, although the individual may suffer, the greater benefit is had by all. And that is what is most important. So, on an ethical standpoint, would I want all my After Now stories to be ripped off and, you know, people to start making books and selling books on that? I couldn't really stop it, could I? I mean, I could try to legally stop it. And I think, honestly, that the fans, because every single fan of the After Now is important to me. Every single one. And that's not bullshit. Every single person is out there, like everyone who donates to the show. They believe in what I do. This is a matter of trust and faith and conviction. So it's not really a case of the internet, you know, making people get further apart, which some people seem to think. You know, when you're online, you know, you're separate from the rest of the world, whatever the fuck that means. I don't know how the hell you can figure that one out. But realistically, that's why Rant and the internet and all the other substations that carry us, we're all part of a community, and in order for the community to exist, we must support the community. You see what I mean? And that's by choice again. If you think it's worthwhile, do it. If you don't think it's worthwhile, steal it, but do something worthwhile with it and then release it to the world. That's my stance on the whole situation anyhow. So, you know, as for these sixth graders, well, I'd like to think to myself how I'd be different if I hadn't seen Empire Strikes Back. Because that was the first real live-action movie I saw. I saw a mecha in there and lightsabers. Well, I guess the rest is history. Maybe I'd be a cop now. In FBI news, the FBI on Tuesday asked the U.S. Congress for sweeping new powers to seize business or private records ranging from medical information to book purchases to investigating terrorism without first securing approval from a judge. So the FBI is trying yet again to go in and go, yeah, we're the FBI. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Valerie Caproni, FBI General Counsel, told the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee her agency needed the power to issue what are known as administrative subpoenas to get information quickly about terrorist plots and activities of foreign agents, even though there's been no terrorist attacks on American soil in about, you know, 4 or 5 years. Civil liberties groups have complained the subpoenas, which would cover medical, tax, gun purchases, book purchases, travel, and other records, could be kept secret. Would give the FBI too much power. It could infringe on privacy and free speech. I don't know how they think it could infringe. I mean, what could possibly be wrong with the FBI kicking in doors and looking at your library records? What's this? You took out some cyberpunk books from the library. You read Snow Crash. That's a cyberpunk novel. That goes on the contraband media list. That's labeled EC10 for content. This type of subpoena authority would allow investigators to obtain relevant information quickly in terrorism investigations, where time is often of the essence. You know, I'm in Studio B here of the Rant Studios. And Studio B, I'm lucky enough to have complete and total dominion and control over. And in Studio B, I have got 1, 2, 3 massive floor-to-ceiling bookshelves loaded with text. Now, on these bookshelves, I've got, oh man, let's just look around here. I've got some psycho-Christian literature here. I'm just going to read off some titles going around the room here. You tell me if I'm going to jail. Let's see, I got Stephen Levy's book on crypto, which I stole from Inky. Circle of Intrigue by that guy Mars, the Okinawa Program. Oh, hang on here. I got Living Organic, the Canna Bible. I've got Closet Cultivation of Marijuana. I got Breaking Open the Head. I've got The Emperor Wears No Clothes. I've got some, that's just one shelf. I've got some Chinese literature. I got paranormal stuff. I got a forensic books on photographs, a forensic detective scrapbook. That's illegal in Canada. You can't have that. Going over to my military shelf, oh, Jesus. I've got the SAS book. I've got a Principles of Silencers book. I got How Wars Are Won. I've got a whole hockey sock full of Vietnam novels. Spy Catcher, History of the Gurkhas, Ancient History of Mu. Yeah, I've got Socio Programming. I got the Special Forces Handbook. Jesus Christ, I'm going to jail. Plus, I'm doing a newscast. I've got some software here. I've got some stuff on disk that I haven't paid for. Oh, my God. Obviously, what the FBI is looking for here is an ability to gather propaganda that they can put spin on to make anybody look like a terrorist. The only reason why you are free right now, everyone is a criminal. Everyone breaks the law. It's just that no one's bothered to bother with you yet. Eventually, you will be arrested because everyone, like I said before, breaks the law. There's so many laws now that you can't help but break the law. So it's a matter of when are they going to come for you? It's crazy. This FBI thing is all linked to the Patriot Bill. I got a link to the Patriot Bill here, too, which was sent to me. Sick and weird, man. I don't understand how it's possible that people are so blind to this. Are we so asleep? Are we so unaware of our own potential that we just kind of go along? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bizarre. Wake up. Everybody wake up. Christ, sometimes I get tired of ringing this bell. In VR news. Now, everyone knows I'm a VR junkie. Because if I'm going to get off-world, and I can't get off-world by going in one direction, by God, I'll get off-world going another one. In virtual reality news, a novel comedy. This is very sexy, though. You want to check this out. Go take a look at this. This isn't really portable, but it's pretty hot. The novel combined 2D, 3D displays. There we go. Bring mixed reality applications to your desktop. Now, have you heard of virtual reality? You've heard of augmented reality, where, you know, you have an overlay on reality? And there's mixed reality, which is a combination of two-dimensional and three-dimensional reality on a desk, which throws up holographic displays. Very cool. The images of two high-resolution video projectors with 1600 by 1200 RGB pixels each are projected onto a special 30-inch filter panel. As a result, the computer-generated objects float above the desktop in holographic quality, symmetric resolution, excellent stereo separation. The patent system perfectly embeds virtual objects in a real environment. The 3D display is flanked by two high-resolution 2D monitors. The displays share a joint space. With a simple hand gesture, the user can move the computer-generated objects shown in 2D screens to the 3D display, drag-and-drop operation with your hands. The user may touch it like a real object. So we're talking about touching a three-dimensional object that's a holograph. Hand gestures are recognized by remote, video-based, multiple baseline stereo hand trackers embedded in the desktop. No gloves. You can get optional haptic feedback when touching virtual objects. Can be provided by haptic gloves. But we're talking about some very... This here, although it's small and on the desktop, this is holodeck technology. This is Gen 1. It's really beta. But it's very, very hot. Check out this link. And that is going to be some serious future for, you know... Damn it, man. I've got to keep my brain going. I really do. You know, maybe I should put that out to the ultimate search engine out there. I would like to ask, for those of you out there who are a little bit more medically inclined, I'm 31 years old, you know? I'm 31 years old. I've been running hard since the turn of the century on a lot of crypto stuff. Or not crypto, a lot of internet stuff. And, you know, occasionally you get the black shakes and you burn out and you come back on it. Now I'm getting back up to speed. I'm not really where I was in the days of cult. I'm probably pulling about, 5 hours a day online. But I find I get brain burn. You know, that kind of that black shake thing at the end of the day where it's kind of hard to keep up? So I'm looking for a nutrition stack. I'm looking for a mental nutrition stack, not speed, nutrition. We're looking for stuff that will boost mental endurance and mental capabilities. Because realistically... I don't know if there's a soul or not, but I do know there is a mind. And if we can keep our brains sharp, then that'll be cool. And I'm willing to guinea pig myself with a stack of brain boosters. So I put it to you, server, the great web, that I need to get my hands on a brain stack. Please post any possible, or you can email me. If you want to post it in the live journal, you can. But if you're serious about it, you got a good stack, give me an explanation of why you want to do that stack and make sure it's readily available. Nothing illegal. I'm not interested in doing vasopressin or anything like that. But, you know, I've got some books on nootropics here. I'll do some checksums on the data. I'm not going to do your word. But it'd be interesting to do that and see what kind of effect I could have. Because if it works, I think that's something we want to look at. And there's no better way than to lead by example. In crypto news. Now, everybody sent me this story. This story here is so fucking insane. It just, oh my God. Okay, let's see if I can get through this without throwing up. A Minnesota appeals court has ruled that the presence of encryption software on a computer may be viewed as evidence of criminal intent. Okay, this is about as which... Okay, I got to get through this. Aaron David Levy, who is convicted of taking illegal photographs of a nude 9-year-old girl, argued on appeal that PGP encryption utility on his computer was irrelevant and should not have been admitted as evidence during his trial. PGP stands for Pretty Good Privacy and is sold by PGP Inc. of Palo Alto, California. But the Minnesota Appeals Court ruled 3-0 that the trial judge was correct to let information be used when handling down a guilty verdict. Okay, so the appeals court said that it's okay to say you have encryption. That means you're doing something wrong. We find that evidence of appellant's internet use and the existence of an encryption program on his computer was at least somewhat relevant to the state's case against him. Judge R.A. Randall wrote in an opinion dated May 3rd. Randall favorably cited testimony given by retired police officer Brooke Schaub, who prepared a computer forensics report called an N-case report for the prosecution. Schaub testified that PGP can basically encrypt any file other than the National Security Agency. Nobody could break it. Well, other than the National Security Agency, nobody could break it. Well, that's wrong. There's no real way to really... it's not like the PGP has, you know, only the NSA can break that. Okay, that's an error. That's a total error. That's incorrect. The court didn't say the police had unearthed any encrypted files or how it would view the use of standard software like OSX's file vault. Rather, Levy's conviction was based on in-person testimony of the girl who said she was paid to pose nude, coupled with the history of searches for Lolitas on Levy's web browser. Now, isn't it interesting how they always try to put the spin and vilify things with pedophiles? I cannot believe that they found a way to swing encryption into the world of pedophiles. Because if more stories like this pop up, it'll be like only pedophiles use encryption. You see what I'm saying here? So this is yet another reason to learn about encryption, because obviously they're starting to try to vilify it. I mean, how can you possibly conceive that having an encrypted file makes you a terrorist? What's in this box? I'm not telling you. Then it must be illegal. You're going to jail? What the fuck? That doesn't even make sense. The desire for privacy is criminal? Now, granted, this guy here, you know, he's... like, it's argued, well, all he had was nude pictures of nine-year-olds. He's just searching for Lolitas on the web. Well, you know, he paid a nine-year-old girl, okay, to pose nude so he could take pictures of her. Let's pretend Sean has a spawn. And my nine-year-old daughter comes home to me and says, Sean, because, you know, she wouldn't call me dad. Sean, I posed nude and I got $20 from the neighbor. And I'd say, really? Yeah. Well, that's good for you, I'd say. We'll talk about this later. And then, you know, I go take my daughter to a very public place where I have something to eat. And later that same day, I see something on the news when I was in a public place. And it's no longer my problem, because that's how these things have to work. Make sure that you have all your tracks covered. Bottom line, people who do shit like this are the scum of the fucking earth, okay? The reason why, a lot of people wonder why I want to kill pedophiles. Sean, that's vengeance. You're taking, like, the holy high road here, and you're giving into, like, moral supremacy. You know, just because you want it. No. It's got nothing to do with vengeance. The reason why you take out pedophiles, it's got absolutely nothing to do with the child they have already infected, okay? The child they have already damaged, and make no mistake, pedophilia wrecks lives. We're talking like lifetimes, 20 years of counseling to get over shit that happened once the child remembers it, okay? This is why you have to be, if you're not sure about your sexuality, you know, you should probably just hang back until you are sure about your sexuality. Don't go, you know, experimenting with stuff while you're, you know, a minor. I mean, this is, you know, it seems kind of asinine that I should be saying this to the children of the internet, but, you know, I would think that, you know, if you're a child and you want to experiment with sexuality, you should at least have the maturity and the brain capability to determine what sex you are before you start screwing around. Just, I don't know, maybe me. I'm not trying to start anything here with transgender youth or any of that shit, because I don't know much about it and I don't understand it. But I'm pretty certain even the transgender crowd, the gay crowd, everyone would agree with me that children are a pretty sacred thing. And they need to be protected, because quite often they don't have the barriers up that the rest of us do. I'd rather have a child be given some kind of a crash course before they get into reality by people who honestly care. And yeah, okay, everyone's going to be jaded, but at least, you know, they got something. So, you know, just as for me, if you're a minor and you're listening to this program and you think that I even got a remote clue, or maybe sometimes I'm right, and you're not sure about what sexuality you are yet, I don't care if you want to be gay, straight, transgender, cross-dresser, whatever, okay? But make sure you know what you are. Don't have any doubt in your mind before you start getting sexually active, because you can psychologically damage yourself, man. You can set yourself up with more baggage than you need. And believe you me, by the time you're 25, you'll have more than enough emotional baggage. So, you know, don't go looking for it. It will show up, I promise. Now, getting back to the pedophile thing, if a pedophile assaults a child, the reason why you take the pedophile out is not because he assaulted the child. It's so he will not assault another child, because the risk is too great. He's already done it once. Now, if there's any question in court, la la la, the guy gets off. The second time he goes in, yeah, it's the 9 mil pill for you, Jack. You know, I cannot stand the fact that these pedophiles are out there running around people like, well, it's a legal issue. No, it's not a legal issue, dude. They're destroying lives. They're destroying the lives of human beings before they even get a chance. And that's what makes it wrong. You take pedophiles out so they won't kill again, not because of what they've done. And by killing, you know, and, you know, even though they didn't physically stop the life of the individual, in a lot of ways, pedophiles kill children. In Netrunner news, computer hackers do not make the best employees, if you can believe this shit. You know, the vilification of hackers is going so far now. It's gone so far that if you even have knowledge, you're just a bad employee. If you don't play the game well. I lost my job because I didn't play the game well. I started talking about solidarity and unity and stuff like that. And I guess that's really not very popular, you know, with slave wage companies. Computer hackers do not make the best employees, according to a report by the university professor at a Stockholm university. A university professor. I love these university professors. I went to school, then I went to school, and I went to school some more. Now I work in a school. So I'm going to tell you about the real fucking world. Lewis Yingstrom, A professor of security informatics said the idea of hiring gamekeepers from a breeding stock of poachers might seem like a good idea.
Wow.
However, she warned AFP that such computer types often have ethics and values that contrast sharply with those of most companies.
Yeah.
Ethics and values. Okay, well, the ethics of companies are ethics and values of companies. Companies have no ethics and values because, by definition, they're all psychotic. Go see the documentary The Corporation. That is required viewing for all WOGs. There's few things that are required viewing. Okay, very few things. The documentary film, The Corporation, is one of those required viewing documents. As well as, what's other required viewing? I would even go so far as to say Equilibrium is, well, I wouldn't call it required viewing, but it's pretty damn close. You know, it's one of those highly recommended media. I can't really even say that The Corporation is required. You can't say it's required because that gives me some kind of authority, and I can't do that. But as your buddy, okay, as Sean Kennedy, trust me, okay, you really need to see the film The Corporation. You also need to check out the film Fog of War, another documentary. Very, very good. Just to give you a little bit of American history about who's in charge and who was running the show before you showed up on the scene. Engstrom said that if they ever go straight and stop being hackers, Jesus, they can therefore have a hard time learning to play by corporate rules. Well, hackers are simply coders, and going straight means what exactly? Playing by corporate rules? Straight changes from day to fucking day. She claimed that these people have yet to take a stand with regard to their own integrity. Actually, they have taken a stand with their integrity, which is not necessarily the line in line with that of the company. You know, this is kind of in the news. Engstrom claimed that employees could share company values. She said that hackers were often mavericks who sit alone at home for hours in front of their computer. Oh my God, I'm alone right now! Except for the fact that, you know, I'm broadcasting to like 100,000 fucking people, so how am I alone? And of course, normal developers are all moralistic, balanced individuals who love their company. They also have girlfriends and wives, an active out-of-work social life, and they don't need to use a computer outside office hours. Yeah. Welcome to the crack. In Cyberdeck news, now this just has stealth box written all over it. Nicholas Negroponte, chairman and founder of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Media Lab, not a dumb guy, recently unveiled his plan to provide affordable laptop computers for developing communities and do it at a cost of $100 a piece. Hello. Such inexpensive devices could throw laptop manufacturers into a panic, but it could also improve education in remote areas. You know, this story is just the best news I've heard all fucking day. Check it out. We've got laptop manufacturers, these corporations who are employing slave wages in third world nations, being thrown into a panic, which is always good. You can't help but feel good about that. That's why Firefox kicks monster ass. But it could also improve education in remote areas. There's no bad here. Where's the downside? Not seeing it. This is not an effort to save the third world. It's an effort to get some tools for changing in place, said Alan Kay, an early pioneer for personal computing, who's currently at Hewlett-Packard Labs developing some of the educational software for the laptop. What a hero! The prototype is still in development, but the lightweight machine, measuring no bigger than 10 inches by 8 inches, wearable, will come with a 1 gigabyte of flash memory and at least 2 USB ports for plugging in external devices such as printers. Add a hub, wearable. At least one manufacturer plans to build a printer for a Negroponte machine that will sell for $35! $35! Negroponte also hopes to manufacture the display, the most expensive part of any computer, for under $30. Yeah. So we're talking about a $65 box here that is complete and functioning. I mean, seriously, dude, if you're making good money and you could afford to throw out $65 every 2 weeks, you could buy laptops and fucking give them away. Write WOG on the top of it and hand it out. Throw a Rant Radio sticker on it, and Rant Radio could start giving away laptops to people in need, people who would use them, people who would find out, like, what a way to give out Newsreel. What a way to, you know, get one of these laptops, load it up, and give it away. You're out $65. But man, you could really help some people out with that. That's something I'd do. I swear to God, that'd be really hot to do. The laptop would have wireless capabilities and a Linux operating system. And then it goes on to say here, which looks a lot like Microsoft Windows, but it has the advantage of costing nothing. And there's also other security advantages and, you know, so on and so forth. Since batteries are few and far between in developing countries, Negroponte plans on technologically simple and cheap power methods, such as turning a hand crank laptop. God, I'm loving this thing. 1 minute of cranking would bring 10 minutes of operating time. So consequently, 3 minutes of cranking, you know, so on and so forth. And who doesn't crank when they're online, really? Another story here in illegal information news. Now, we all know that the Star Wars George Lucas crowd, you know, everybody's getting all wiggy with the whole Star Wars thing, okay? Well, check it out. U.S. law enforcers said on Wednesday they have shut down a computer network that distributed illegal copies of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, before it appeared in movie theaters. Federal agents executed 10 search warrants and seized the main server computer in a network that allowed people to download nearly 18,000 movies and software programs, including many current releases. The FBI and Homeland Security Department said, why the fuck is Homeland Security even looking at movies? What the hell is the FBI doing? This is all civil shit. None of this is criminal. The Elite Torrents Network, found online at elitetorrents.org, relied on technology called BitTorrent, for all you brain-dead motherfuckers out there that don't know what's going on, that allows its users to quickly download digital movies and other large files by copying them from many computers at once. The network signed up 133,000 members who collectively downloaded 2.1 million files, according to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division at the Homeland Security Department. Is anybody checksumming this? Or are we just going to trust Homeland Security? Because after all, they're on the leash of the corporation. You know, if you don't think they are, you tell me why they're even bothering with this. Are you really seriously fucking think that, let's say Star Wars loses money, how is that a governmental problem exactly? It's just, like, sorry Star Wars, but that's just the way shit is. Visitors to the website on Wednesday saw a notice that read, this site has been permanently shut down by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. How the fuck is U.S. Immigration and Customs even involved, let alone the FBI? Oh my God, these people are dumb. In Mud Hut religion news, a judge has ordered the best-selling writer and journalist Oriana Fassilli to stand trial in her native Italy on charges she defamed Islam in a recent book. Don't talk bad about Islam. The decision angers Italy's justice minister, but delighted Muslim activists who accused Fassilli of inciting religious hatred in her 2004 work La Forza della Ragione, The Force of Reason. Fassilli lives in New York and has regularly provoked the wrath of Muslims with her outspoken criticism of Islam following September 11, 2001 attacks on U.S. cities. In La Forza della Ragione, or however the fuck it said, Fassilli wrote that the terrorists had killed 6,000 people over the last 20 years in the name of the Quran and said the Islamic faith sows hatred in the place of love and slavery in the place of freedom. You know, what's concerning to me here is if she can be tried for defaming a religion, well, how long is it going to be before Scientology nails me with that shit? What happened to free speech? I guess it's not so free anymore, is it? And in gulag news, Amnesty International is calling U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay a gulag of our time, a human rights failure, and said it should be closed. In a 308-page report, the Human Rights Organization accused the United States, as well as many other countries, of shirking their responsibility to protect human rights. Now, on this Guantanamo Bay, you got to bear in mind that people suck generally. Okay, the people in power are in power because they've manipulated other people to get that way. And the only way they're going to keep, like, there's been gulags and prison camps and death camps since the world began. They will continue to be there, and we must continue to fight them. And it is depressing. And a lot of times we'll look at this and go, holy crap. Yes, the world is based on violence and deception. And it is up to us. Now, there's those of us out there who believe that, you know, oh, well, it's all about me. You know, anyone else who believes in the faith of humanity is just retarded. But as long as somebody out there tries to live up to the ideals which we've set in place, hasn't thrown into the side, fuck it, I'm all about myself and screw everyone else. As long as we even try, even if we try and fail, there is the attempt at trying. And that's how you keep ideals alive. Today's Daily Hack, we got two of them. We got Proxometron. I don't know how to say that. If you want to change or hide information about your computer, such as where you've been or browser you're using, then that's the right utility to use. And I've also got another daily hack here for do-it-yourself fizzy pop, how to make colas. Maybe there's a way we could take something like this. I'd like to try around with this. Maybe I could come up with a way to make fizzy pop fast drink, which I think would probably be against the whole point, but it's an idea. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will not... Ooh, actually, you better worry because I'm not here tomorrow. But I will be back on Monday with Samarian to make sure we get a fresh new week of all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight for Elite. Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, David, Jesse, Grey Ghost, Drake, Triad, Philip, Robert, Mainframe, Russell, Michael, Andrew, End User, Christopher, Derek, Jesse, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Matt, Steve, Brandon, Jesse, Peter, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Rosalie, Sergeant Tibbs, Evan, Austin, David, Adam, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Richard, Brandon, Noob, Jonathan, Philip, Jason, Art, Matt, Duel, Michael, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. News this month was Charles. Thanks for joining the fight. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit helps. Special thanks to the Hard Netrunners, the Army of Winged Monkeys, Dead Code, Ion, Visage, No Delete, Valerian, Pig Monkey, Digitus, Dark Nature, Ascarta, Thunderspud, and Fooish 101. Digital baptisms today, Robo Christian's computer is now Dreamgate. And be sure to check the Live Journal for all the upcoming events. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like music in the background, be sure to pick up the 2-CD set called Holy by a group called In Strict Confidence. I'm going to leave you now with a song from Team America soundtrack called Freedom Isn't Free. And I point to you the complete asinine stupidity that of, you know, foreign policy that this song actually points out. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
What would you do if you were asked to give up your dreams for freedom? What would you do if asked to make the ultimate sacrifice? Would you think about all them people who gave up everything they had? Would you think about all them who warned us? And would you start to feel bad? Freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me. And if we don't all chip in, we'll never pay that bill. There's a hefty thug fee. And if you don't grow in your bucko five, who will? What would you do if someone told you to fight for freedom? Would you answer the call or run away like a little pussy? That yearning is 'cause folks died for you in the past. So maybe now it's your turn to die kicking some ass. Freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me. And if we don't all chip in, we'll never pay that bill. Freedom costs a buck of fare.